You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fun episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and I'm grateful to be here as always, thanks to the listeners out there. That means you.
Absolutely, I am grateful as well. My name is Rob. Happy to be back in the saddle. We go with a few days at a time where we're not here, and so it's always good to be back. And it's always awesome to know that there's at least a few of you out there listening. We appreciate it very much. And yeah, looking forward to this. Let's jump right in.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about today's question, which is interesting because, you know, we've been talking for a long time about this trend that we've been seeing in some of the enterprise trainings that that some of these bigger enterprise kind of quote unquote drones, while they may have very specific nuanced use cases, when it comes to some of more of the general stuff that you're used to utilizing your drone for, some of these vehicles are just not providing the same solutions that people are used to, which is really forcing companies to look at other solutions for drones, including the old Inspire 1 and the Phantom 4 and the Mavics, and drones that are portable, that are able to do exactly what they want to do, but also are flexible, meaning they have many different use cases. It also means that they can take photos, they can take videos. There's flexibility. We don't really want to go back in time. If you remember the days where we used to set all our camera up while it was on the ground before we started recording, and now we don't do that anymore. We have the ability to change aperture, ISO from the ground. We can set up our shot. We can, you know, there's just so much we can do now with intelligent flight modes to add more dynamic nature to the shots. There's just a lot, Rob. I mean, so it's really interesting to hear today's question, which we're going to just go ahead and break right into. But before we do, I'm really excited to do another webinar. We've changed the date, so it's not going to be Tuesday. It's going to be Thursday of this week. You will not want to join me. If you are signed up on our email list, just go to, it's kind of towards the bottom of the email. You can check out the webinar that is there. We just sent out another email about the webinar. You won't want to miss this because we're actually talking very specifically about what I'm calling different drone kits, meaning drones that work for different nuanced purposes, but also work for general purposes as a whole. To try to clear up some of the noise that's going on with equipment. What can it do? What can it not do? Where are your limitations? What can you use one particular drone for to do a better job than another particular drone? So we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about some of the other accessories that really just make living the drone life a lot easier. So you do not want to miss that upcoming webinar. Also, you don't want to miss our upcoming mapping class that's going on in New York. That's right, New York, New York. We will be there August 2nd through 4th. Might actually be out there a little bit longer than that just because we have an upcoming partnership to announce here soon. Really excited about that as well. But join me. I will be out there in New York. It's one of my favorite places to visit, except when it's not Hurricane Sandy time. So,
indeed. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, if you want to join us at a mapping class, which I'm sure you do, because there's a lot of resources that are not provided at other classes. In fact, this class is my personal baby. It's something that I've gone to, you know, PIX4D classes. I've gone to some of our competitors' classes, and I'm surprised they didn't recognize me. And I've just looked at what everyone else is doing because I want to create the best program possible.
It might have been the glasses, nose, and mustache thing that you wore.
Or the orange toupee. I don't know.
I was wondering where my toupee went.
Anyway, if you want to join us for a mapping class, we're going to learn everything about photogrammetry. And, you know, this isn't just when I say you learn everything about photogrammetry, obviously it's impossible to cover absolutely everything in 3 days. But let me tell you this, when it comes to photogrammetry, there are so many different things, so many different deliverables that you can offer as a drone service provider. And if you only learn one particular software solution, like let's say, what's a good one? I don't want to call out anyone that we've been talking to because Let's just say that you've been working with one cloud-based solution that provides really good reports for one particular reason or another. Are you going to be able to model facades really well to create a 3D model for maybe a film studio? Are you going to be able to help a surveyor out in understanding, you know, brake lines and all that? You have to have a wide gamut of information to be able to process different formulas, different imagery to create beautiful models or accurate models. And you're not going to be able to do all of that if you learn just one app. So that's why you got to come to the Drone U mapping class, where we're going to give you enough information where you understand the systems of how all of this works. That way you can go out and deliver exactly what you need to for a wide variety of clients when it comes to drone mapping. So make sure you join us. Just go to bit.ly or bit.ly/ what is it?
2019 Drone U mapping classes.
So just say that one more time. That is Drone U mapping classes.
Yep. 2019 Drone U mapping classes. But before we move on from the mapping classes, if hopefully listeners don't mind, we had a question from somebody that was considering signing up, and I thought it was a great way to phrase the question that I will now pose to you. And I didn't mention this to you, so you haven't had a chance to think about it, but that's okay. You've done enough to where I think you can answer this no problem. And that is, if I go to one of these classes, what do I come away qualified to do? I thought that was a good way to ask the question. And I'm sure it depends on what you go in wanting to learn and focusing on, but nonetheless, how would you answer that question? What do I come away qualified to do? I mean, obviously not be a surveyor, for example.
No.
But what are some options coming out of it?
Qualified to do. Qualified to build 3D models. Qualified to build 3D textured meshes. Qualified to understand how to create really beautiful, detailed, and intricate 3D meshes that your competition cannot do. Qualified and detailed on how to edit orthomosaics. Qualified and detailed on how to conduct volumetric measurements. Qualified on how to present visualizations of your models to your clients. Qualified on different applications to provide reports on volumetric measurements to your clients. You're also gaining access to the entire class. So if you, something that a lot of people don't know is if you come to one of our in-person classes, you also get access to our online material, so you can like rewatch the entire class. So if you missed a point because you were on your cell phone, or you were tired, or you were grabbing coffee, or you had to go to the bathroom,
or the fire hose just got to be too much,
or which happens a lot. In fact, we actually just filmed 7 new subclasses for our advanced mapping class before I left for my lake trip, and they're actually all done, ready to go.
Are they really?
Yeah. So the production speed is on fire right now. So in fact, our new 107 class is done as well.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Our recurrency class is mostly up on the website. They have 3 videos left to upload. I think we're going to leave up though the old 107 class and the new 107 class, because there was just some things that I really liked from the old 107 class that weren't really done in the new 107 class. And it just kind of gives you a different, more group vibe from the old class. But the new class is very direct, to the point, and gets everything that you need. And by the way, I wanted to congratulate Kyle Bowman.
Absolutely.
For passing his part 107 exam at the earliest point that he could take it. Was 17 years old?
No, 16, right?
I can't remember.
It's 16. So Kyle first reached out to us when he was 13, mm-hmm. I think, right?
Yeah.
And he's been by the office, and he's been to the fly-in, and I know he looks up to Paul, so it's really, really exciting to see. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
It's one of those stories that honestly just makes me feel all kinds of good, because there's a little kid who has a dream to be a drone pilot, and now here's the picture. Let me go ahead and get this all fired up.
While Paul's doing that, I'm going to mention that, and I don't know if you have noticed this, but if you look at our show notes, I think it probably shows up in YouTube as well. I don't know. But there are actually timestamps of these podcasts where you can go in and kind of see where we talk about what. Just an FYI, if you wanted to look at that and then kind of skip some of this stuff.
Here's Kyle. There he is. Back at the fly-in 2 years ago. Man, I look good. I need to lose some weight. Holy cow. But I'm so happy for Kyle. So he got 26 comments, 76 likes inside of the Drone U community. If you're not in the Drone U community, well, you got to join. you're missing out. If you have a fear of missing out, chances are you're right. Want to know why? Because if you're not constantly learning, then you're not constantly successful. On that bombshell, let's go ahead and play the question.
Hi guys, it's Gareth here from Australia. I just listened to your latest podcast about which drone was good. I heard you chatting about the Enterprise drones. I actually have a couple. I find them completely useless. That's why I have to take my Phantom Pro Selection or Mavic 2s, particularly for 360s, panoramics, intelligent flight modes, in addition to the camera settings being locked, so I can't change the ISO on the Enterprise. I can't change the aperture. The other thing you can't change as well on the Enterprise drone that I've got, you know, I've got a few of the duals as well. We can't actually change the video res. So it's a 2.7K, 4K or 1080 hard coded to 30 frames a second. That is it. You do not have any ability to change it. I have written to DJI. They just said it's a feature request. No idea why, it's just a software update that they could do, but other than that, it's completely useless. I actually just use it for search and rescue. That's all I use for all animal identification and animal counts. That's all I use the Enterprise drones for. Anyway, could you guys check it out? Hopefully it's the same as me in Australia, but I'm pretty sure the American ones might be the same. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you very much, Gareth. Great to hear from you all the way from Australia. Really appreciate it. AskDroneU.com for your question. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. Again, as we've said over and over again, we know that you have questions. All it takes is a few seconds for you to hop on there and send that in to us. And there will be a lot of people that appreciate you taking the time to do so. Interesting thoughts there. And I wonder, I mean, he kind of alluded to it, wondering if there are some differences between something that he would have in Australia and something that we would have here. Based on what he said, it seems like that might be the case.
It could be the case. In fact, I just checked a couple of our drones to say, well, I know some features are not available on the Enterprise stuff, but I'm not sure about everything that he said. So I actually pulled out the Mavic 2 Enterprise, and it does have a locked aperture. You cannot change the aperture whatsoever, but you can change the shutter speed and the ISO. But I do know on some of these bigger drones, these more expensive drones, and especially some of the more expensive cameras, you don't have the ability to do just some of the basic stuff. Like, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you do have locked in frame rates. In fact, it's very interesting. One of our Drone U instructors is working with a forensics department right now, and I can't say who, I can't say what. But long and short is that when it comes to frame rates, this can actually be an extremely important issue, Rob. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The reason it can be an extremely important issue is because depending on the frame rate of certain body cameras can essentially showcase or not showcase what had happened. So if you've got a camera that's shooting at like 24 or 30 frames per second, and you see someone like pull something quickly out of their pocket, you know, at a slower frame rate, you may not actually be able to discern on the video what that object was because it's moving so fast. With a higher frame rate, like 60 or 120 frames, you can actually better discern exactly what was pulled out of someone's hand to get a better rendition of what was actually going on. I know that frame rate and the scope and size of cameras can have a huge effect on law enforcement and backup or not backup essentially what had happened at a scene, which is why I think that every body camera should have essentially at least, you know, 60 frames per second, if not 120 frames per second, just to really, you know, be able to discern those really important points in time. So with that said, you know, it is important to have higher frame rates if, you know, law enforcement and public safety is utilizing these drones. But I will say on my Mavic 2 Enterprise, I was able to control the different frame rates on my Enterprise. But I do remember, and I can't remember exactly which, it was either the X-T2 or one of the older X-T's.
I'm pretty sure it was the X-T2 because it was something that you were displeased with when you came back from Arizona.
Yeah, and it was the fact that I really didn't have that much control on the frame rates and the ability to really utilize that camera very much on the M600. In fact, I was just outright flabbergasted at how difficult it was to use the M210, how difficult it was to use the M600. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, you know, DJI is really focusing on these drones And I find it really, really interesting that you can't do a lot of the basic functions that you can with a Phantom or a Mavic on an Enterprise. Like, it's so much more difficult to use. And it made me wonder, does this negatively affect the market? Because if more and more people are spending an astronomical amount of money on a drone where they could typically utilize a Phantom or an Inspire 1 or an Inspire 2 to do the same job, makes you wonder, does this negatively impact the industry if people go out and they spend 30 grand, they spend 40 grand, they don't get everything they want out of the drone? The department now is like, you know what, this isn't working for us, we're not going to buy another drone. You know, could that negatively impact the market as a whole? And I don't have the answer to that question. Mm. But I did, just so you know, I did find out actually this weekend that the Chinese actually listen to everyone in the United States.
Oh, I bet they do.
And whoever talks negatively about their policy, they may or may not deny you a visa. So I hope my criticism of DJI won't deny me a visa. So if it does, well, then, you know, whatever.
I would think that the weighting of a positive to criticism would be substantially positive.
I think everyone enjoys a feedback loop. At least if you want to get better.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, please let us know where we can improve. That's something that we will always stand for.
Yeah. But I mean, he begs a good question. Is like, you know, why are these enterprise drones so limited in some of the scope that they can do? Like, essentially the types of apps you have to use or the types of apps on what Crystal Sky. Like, we figured out that, you know, that you couldn't use the X-T2 on the smaller Crystal Sky and control all the settings because literally there was a scaling error in the code. So I couldn't, like, literally just turn the menu up to turn on Lightbridge 2 settings.
So let's speculate. What are the reasons? Is it a function of wanting to get product to the market and not take the time to fully develop it? Is it it's technologically more difficult than we realize? What do you think?
Oh, I'm sure all those are a factor. But you know, it was funny because I was talking to a buddy of mine, just, you know, at my SEAL team friend. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if there was a drone that had interchangeable lenses, that had a 30-minute flight time with cheap batteries, you could interchange to like imagine that Phantom 5 that we saw with the interchangeable lenses, you know, the newer beefed up remote, batteries what we're used to. If we could also change the camera, like it was an Inspire, but just a Phantom, and drop that camera off and throw on a thermal camera, or drop, you know, another camera and throw on a different camera, you would have a drone that literally solves every problem with one product. But I don't think we're ever going to see that, at least not from DJI. I think you will see it, though, from two competitors, one of them being from the UK, Pippa's new company. Who,
you think so?
I don't think it's going to be worth it, but I mean, like, we'll see. So now,
So her company, Pippa Mongrum, is who he's referring to. Her company actually manufactures drones. Is
that's
what
she said.
Really?
But when I heard her on what's his name? What's his name? Don't say the name of his show, but what's
Eric
his name?
Eric Townsend?
When I heard Eric Townsend's show with her and she talking about the drone industry, I was like, wow, lady, you really do not have a good sense of what's going on. She did say what I just said, which is there is not one drone platform that's like modular that you can essentially, like, think of DeWalt tools. You know, you can use those batteries on any tool that you want. You know, if you need a new saw blade, you can buy different saw blades to work to cut metal, PVC pipe, like all of that. Like, they just work, you know?
And I just cannot get over the question of why. Why is that not available? Because DJI absolutely could have done that by now. So there must be economic reason.
Unique is starting to do it. It's just going to be interesting to see when they actually release their new payloads and cameras and whatnot. So the competition is heating up. I mean, it really, really is, you know. And then there's a new company out of New York that's developing great drones, and they were just approved by the Department of Defense as being a vendor. And, you know, DJI put out this morning, I think that, you know, they're like a U.S. Let me pull up the email really quick. They said something about a U.S. federal agency, like, approved drones. And I, like, even read the title and I was like, So here we go. U.S. federal agency validates and approves DJI's high security solution for government drone programs.
Hmm. DJI's high security solution.
Yeah.
Meaning it doesn't connect to the internet to start with. What does that even mean?
I'm not really sure. So I'm really not sure. I, you know, when we hear this from the government, I'll believe it. I mean, because there's still a ban out there, which is affecting some of our clients. Not everybody. I would say like 90% of people are not affected by it. But some of our largest enterprise customers are being really affected by this.
Yeah.
So also, I find it astounding that like this qualified entity program that's for public safety, I think that needs to be brought to like drone service providers that can, you know, showcase they know what the hell they're doing with their drones. Because a lot of people are just going to nolimitdrones.com and unlocking their stuff and getting exactly what they want out of the drone. And I'm glad that there's finally a solution.
A mechanism to do so. Sure.
Because a lot of people, like I said, you know, there are utility companies that are saying, hey, we don't want 210s. We don't want 600s. They don't travel well. Just give us an Inspire 1 or an Inspire 2. Obviously, Inspire 2 has that battery redundancy that people like. But I still love my Inspire 1, except my motors have turned brown. And every DJI engineer I've ever talked to is like, you should probably change those out. And I was like, yeah, but I just want to see how long they last.
Well, in that case, you might be seeing how long the drone lasts.
Yeah, seriously.
Not just the motor.
You know what? But that Inspire 1 has been still the original Ferrari, in my opinion.
Yeah, so, no, it's been a good bird. Yeah, no doubt about
it. Even the Inspire 2 was toned down. It's just like not nearly as fun. So, you know, when it comes to what he's doing, we have an instructor who's working with a DoD approved vendor who is coming to DroneU to do a class on building the ultimate enterprise drone that will work for you. It will have different camera payloads. The camera payload that we're building is going to be for an RX100 or the full frame RX. I think it's called the RX1. So it can carry both cameras. So if you want to do mapping or high speed filming and whatnot, you kind of have your all-in-one drone and you're not limited to certain batteries. It's interesting how we're kind of going back in time. So, but we're excited about it. So I, like I said, you know, we've been saying this for a while, the opportunity for a drone manufacturer to just step up and just murder the game is the doors are wide open.
Yeah. It's almost like DJI has given the blueprint and then opened the door to take advantage of the blueprint, meaning they've stopped producing these drones that everybody loves, or at least there's not a lot of them out there. They're not putting a lot of them on the market. And yet people now have the blueprint on how to create them and what people like. So yeah, I'd say that's a pretty huge door.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Also, speaking of resurgence of things, I was supposed to share this article before I went on vacation for July 4th, but Haya had actually put out an article on Drone DJ and had said that DJI Phantom 4 production, it's no longer in production, but it should be restarted, and then did a poll. And in fact, I'll just vote in the poll right now. And it looks like 75% of people believe that the Phantom 4 Pro production should be restarted.
Who would say no? People that just don't use them?
That's a solid question.
Or people that have already purchased their 210?
I don't know. In fact, look at these comments really quick, because this is really interesting. So one said, at very least, keep making the batteries. I think they're going to keep making the batteries because of the Phantom 4 RTK. So yeah. One guy says, I own 3. It's an awesome machine. Then when they shut down updates, continued service. If you don't want to deal with the updates being shut down, then just unlock the drone through No Limit Drones. They should sponsor the show at this point. Let's see. It's actually funny. A lot of these are DroneU members. Someone said, P4 Pro is my workhorse. Do you think we answered his question? I mean, he talks about the issues with the enterprise drones, but I'm not sure I got the whole scope of the question.
I think he was just saying, are we dealing with some of the same issues? I think he was responding to some previous podcasts, and so he was just looking for a discussion about the issues that he brought up. So I think so. I hope so. And if not, let us know, Gareth. We'll go deeper.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the discussion you were looking for, hopefully.
I mean, here's the thing. We need a drone that can do mapping. So we need a global shutter, but we also need a drone that has a high enough sensor that has full control over the sensor, you know?
Well, let's think about, I don't mean to drag this on anymore, but let's think about a camera, right? There's various photographer pursuits, we'll call it. And you wouldn't use the same camera for every one of them.
True.
So I would expect that that would be the scenario that we're going to have with drones as well. I don't think it's realistic to think there will be one drone for everything, right? So that might be an expectation that we need to kind of hold on to loosely and expect that there would be different drones for different purposes. But it would still be nice to have something that is a little bit more broader, like if they would keep the Phantom series going with the modular setup. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I think next year we're going to see a lot of new drones. I really hope so.
I hope so.
Oh, I know so already. Like, I talked to a couple of CES vendors and looked at who's already signed up and whatnot. I mean, CES is in January. This is half a year away.
Yeah.
And we're already seeing a big list. So I'm excited. That's
all
I'm
going to
say.
Well, it's been slow for a year, year and a half, too.
It has. It totally has.
Yeah, I think we're ready for a wave.
I think we are, but also it's great because we can catch up. So before we go, I do want to say, don't forget about our business boot camp. We do have those mapping classes that we told you about. We are doing a mapping class and a business boot camp at our new DroneU training center that is going to have the first ever race course built inside of an office. And also we're going to be utilizing this race course to do classes with kids. We're going to be reaching out to our community as a whole to really bolster the community and continue education. So if you want to join us for that business boot camp and race the course yourself for a chance to be titled the fastest DroneU racing pilot. There will be some racers that have already said that they are going to be there and to join us. So I'm excited to see that. But anyway, that is going to do it for us today. Words can't express my gratitude for you listening. So thank you for listening. Please leave us a review and subscribe and ask us a question. Just go to askdroneU.com and let us know what's on your mind. My name is Paul.
My name's Rob.
This is Ask DroneU.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the DroneU.